Let us pray. Unstop our ears, O God, that we may hear your word proclaimed this day. Open our minds and hearts to be changed. Free us from the unclean spirits of worry, fear, destruction, and pride. Teach us, Lord, that we may follow you more faithfully. Amen. The scripture reading this morning is from the Old Testament, 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 19 through 21, found on page 560. So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, he said, and then I will come with you. Go back, Elijah replied. What have I done to you? So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Dear God, may the Lord, words of my mouth be acceptable to you, O Lord, and encourage us to be sent out into the world. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So of all the classes and lectures I took in seminary, the place where I learned the most about being a pastor was not in a classroom. It was rather in a small church located in the hills of Appalachia outside of a fancy ski resort called Wintergreen. This church was called Rockfish Presbyterian Church. I don't know why they called it Rockfish. I think it was called Rockfish Gap. I don't know. It must have had some weird rockfish out there. And it was where I did my summer internship. And my supervisor, my mentor at the time, was named David Cameron. And he was the one who was to teach me what it was like to be a pastor in that setting. And he was going to teach me things that I had only up to that point read about in books and had seen myself. And so David very graciously and openly said, "All right, Gray, I'm going to hold your hand through this thing. We're going to go through worship planning. We're going to go through pastoral care. I'm going to take you to a funeral home. You're going to see ashes in front of you. We're going to go through all these kinds of things, vacation Bible school, teaching Sunday school. I'm going to walk you through each and every step." And then, after he held my hand for several weeks, he said, "All right, little birdie, on your way. Ready to go do ministry. I'm going to let you go." And he did. And he had spent time, all this time, holding my hand, walking me through, and then set me on my way to do ministry at his church, trusting that I was going to be able to do that. But he didn't just let me be. He was there to encourage me. He was there to support me, even when I failed. But he didn't try to control everything I did. And let me tell you, I messed up often. And yet, he was there for me. He walked me through. He made an investment in me, walking alongside, showing me the ropes. And I'm so thankful for someone to do that for me. And I probably didn't make things easier for him at Rockfish since I was so green, yet he knew that this training would serve the church in the future, that it would serve me much later on down the line. And this investment he made in me has shaped my ministry to this day. It was he who first showed me how to become a minister. And I think we all need these people in our lives, no matter what profession you are, right? That you need someone to make an investment in your life, to hold your hand a little bit, take us under their wing, and then support us as we venture out of the nest. These mentors provide us the tools we need to navigate life. And then they are there to cheer us on, even after we have failed. God places these people throughout our lives to help us grow, to challenge us, and to show us a new way. So it's in this context that we need to understand this story of Elijah and Elisha. The strange scene that happens. And I talked to you all last week about Elijah and being in this depression and feeling like he was all alone. And so now he's taking the first steps out of that cave that he had found himself in. And he's following God's command. And he goes to a field where Elisha is with 24 oxen. He has all these men plowing this field. And Elisha is on the back. He's in charge. This tells us that Elisha was a wealthy man. He was a powerful man. And Elijah walks up to Elisha, and just takes his mantle, his cloak, and just goes, and just keeps walking. And it must be the weirdest thing, right, Nick? Yeah, exactly. Because what? Did that guy just give me a coat? Like, what? What just happened? But this weird thing that happened was that Elisha knew exactly what it meant. He knew something, that this meant something. And he drops his oxen right there and runs after Elijah. What did Elisha know? He knew that the cloak that Elijah was wearing meant something very important. It was the sign of a prophet. Just like I wear this stole every Sunday, this means something, right? This is symbolic of the towel that Jesus wore around his waist when he washed the disciples' feet. It's a sign of service. And the cloak that Elijah was wearing was very similar to that. It was a sign of service and being a prophet. It was a powerful, powerful thing. And so he throws this cloak on Elisha, and Elijah knew. He's showing me God's way, God's power. He's sharing with me God's power. Because that mantle, that cloak that Elijah wore was how he was able to work through God, do amazing and powerful things, like be on that mountain with 450 prophets and still call upon God's power. So by sharing this mantle, Elijah was not only recruiting a helper, Elijah was empowering a helper, empowering Elisha. He was sharing this power given to him by God. And it's not unlike the lightsaber in Star Wars, right, that Obi-Wan gives to Luke. Here's that lightsaber representing that power of the Jedi there. Or the ruby slippers that Dorothy gets, right, at the beginning of Wizard of Oz. All she had to do was click her heels 3 times. I mean, you had to have that whole movie, right? That was the symbol of power, right? They're symbols of power necessary. They're tools necessary to navigate the task ahead of them. So Elisha becomes Elijah's apprentice. To mark this new identity, you see what Elisha does? He says, "Hey, Elijah, let me go back and see my parents real quick. I'm going to say goodbye. Just one last goodbye. Thanks. Thanks for all you did, right? See you, Dad. Thanks. Good night on Father's Day, Greg. Good job." He says, send him on his way. I mean, that's what he did. I'm out of here. And then after that, he goes, he takes one of those oxen, sacrifices it, and gives it to all his workers. Elisha is saying, I'm done with farming. I'm done. I'm done with plowing. I'm done with the whole nine yards. Take my ox, oxen. We're out of here. Clear break from his past life. He's moving on to his new life as a prophet, as God's anointed. And so we have this incredible transformation that happens, this renewed sense of purpose, this re-energization, not only of Elisha, but of Elijah, who had been in a deep depression up to this point. Now he has a new calling to mentor this new prophet, to mentor Elisha, to walk alongside him and teach him the ropes. So what does this story teach us? We all recognize that the work we are called to do as Christians is immense. I think everyone in here will know that there are so many people to care for, so many problems to address, prayers to pray, grace to give. And as individuals, this burden is way too much. And even as a church, I think each and every one of you know that we're often stretched too thin. So out of necessity and responsibility to share that burden, we are called to become mentors like Elijah, willing to give of our power to others in order to accomplish the work before us. Part of what we believe as Presbyterians is that we are all believers, are priests, that God has given each of us gifts to share in building the kingdom. Trusting in this belief, we're called to recognize and nurture these gifts in ourselves and in our neighbors. Part of our natural tendency as human beings, when we get a little bit of power, is to hold on to it. We get a little bit of power, a little bit of knowledge. I once served a church where there was one person who knew everything about the building, but guess who knew nothing about the building? Everybody else. So when we had problems, we had to go to this person. He was the only one that knew the answer. And he would lord that power over us, oh boy. And it was an issue, right? He was bringing this power. And I would tell him, please, just share some information. Write some stuff down, because if you have a heart attack tomorrow, we're all done. We're closing up shop. And that's one of the things I love about this church. You all have been so willing to share with one another information, power. Continue to do that. Because we don't want to put ourselves in a situation where only one person can do it, but that we're reaching out, bringing other people into the fold, walking alongside one another. You all do it so well. I just want to keep that happening. So Elijah calls us to the way of sharing, the way of sacrifice, the way of a mentor, an apprenticeship, a way that dares to share power and knowledge so that others can join us in a work, a way that values permission giving over control. And I challenge each of you to become a mentor, to offer your encouragement, your support, for those who are desiring to contribute to the kingdom work that we're doing right here at First. So share the mantle. Grant them authority. Resource them and walk alongside them through the successes and the failures. Because in doing this, you are building community. You are sharing the burden of ministry and strengthening the body of Christ. Each and every one of you is a minister. I've been watching the General Assembly. Y'all know, I don't know if I shared with you a couple weeks ago, the General Assembly of the Peace USA is happening this week in Portland, the 222nd General Assembly. And one of the guys who was running was a teaching elder. And he was answering questions. He was running for moderator of the meeting, the person who moderates the entire meeting. And he kept saying, "I'm not a minister. I'm just a teaching elder. I mean, a ruling elder. I'm not a minister. I'm just a ruling elder." And I'm reading, I'm following on Twitter, and people are screaming, "Ah! Don't say that. You're a minister. You are a minister. You have gifts to share. Stop saying that." And finally, someone screamed at him while he was answering questions, "Stop, you are a minister." And I want each of you all to see that you have gifts to share. You all could wear this thing just as much as I can, and you should. Take those gifts that you have, use them, share them. Bring along other people to help you. Train those people so that they can help and share the burden that we have as Christians. To serve, to love, to give grace, to pray. That is your calling. Let us now go and find others to walk alongside us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.